Betches Media presents At Betches, a podcast hosted by Betches co-founders Jordana Abraham, Sammy Sage, and me, Aileen Drexler. We talk about it all, from the latest celeb drama to the best movies to TV shows that we're so obsessed with right now. We share all of our thoughts, even the unpopular ones. Welcome to our pop culture group chat.
This is going to be just like senior year, except for funner.
Hello, and welcome back to the At Betches podcast. I'm Jordana.
I'm Sammy.
And I'm Aileen, and we have many things to discuss today, as usual, as we do. But first, Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
You said it so.
Happy New Year back.
The inflection was strange.
I put the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to all.
Happy Thanksgiving back.
We were separate on New Year's. How was everybody's time?
You know, it was good. I talked about this with you on Back for Seconds. So if anyone, you know, wants to hear all about that, it is available.
I haven't heard it.
How was your New Year's? The episode is out. I thought you listened to them immediately.
I didn't know it was out.
Maybe it just didn't load. You know, sometimes
set a notification.
Yeah. Go to another line.
Okay, how was my New Year's? It was uneventful, but like purposefully so. I like came off a plane. Like I woke up at 4:30 in the morning, did a whole plane thing, was home at 10 a.m. and just wanted to chill. And this is the first New Year's I did not make it till 12.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Like a real
one. How late did you make it?
10.
Oh, my.
Did Rusty stay up?
No. We both were just like,
that's fun.
Let's put on sweatpants. We were both like, oh, you know, we'll put on jeans. We'll have dinner and, you know, make it cute. And then at 9 o'clock, we were like, you want to just put on sweatpants and watch Jack Ryan? So that's what we did. And we passed out. And then the next night, guys, I fell asleep at 9:30. 9:30, I was asleep. I don't even know when the last time that happened was.
Gone are the days of our 2011 Miami. What was it? Was it Avicii? Who was it we saw
at the Fountain Blue?
Yeah, in Miami at the Fountain Blue.
Or the time when we were in Greece and you guys made me stay up like 24 hours to watch like fucking Chainsmokers till 5 in the morning and I was asleep standing up. Do you remember that, Jordana?
Were you? I thought you were like pretty, you were going.
I was into it and then I passed out standing up like this. It was 24 hours. It was
it was a long time. But the New Year, I mean, I'm just comparing New Year's to New Year's.
Yeah, New Year's.
Quite a difference. What was that, 2011? Now it's 2023.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, 12 years. Wow, we are old.
I know. When I woke up, though, the next day, on New Year's Day, I really didn't feel like I missed much. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing every year.
Like Andy and Andy weren't drunk. they weren't allowed to drink.
Yeah, apparently on, I think, like CNN, they missed like the actual New Year's countdown because I think they were playing the song Back That Ass Up and they just missed the countdown.
They had like technical issues or something.
It felt a little weird. It felt a little awkward. I felt like their conversations felt a little like weird. They just didn't sound like they were having that much fun.
Because
they were sober.
Yeah.
They were probably also self-conscious because they had never done it sober and everyone soberly, and everyone was probably talking about how they were sober. So it like made them self-conscious about being sober, but like they probably do their career sober almost entirely.
I turned on the show for like 5 minutes, probably at like 9 o'clock, and they were like blind taste testing different drinks. I turned it on when they had to like taste buttermilk and I was like, what the fuck is this? I am not staying up to watch this. And then I just turned it off.
To be honest, we toggled between that and the Miley.
Yes.
The Miley one was like a vibe. That is like a party.
Yeah, this felt fun. Like, it's a concert.
Right. And that felt like a concert with your friends. This felt like you're kind of like sitting at the table with like your uncles. Just like talking
about like, no, like doing silly New Year's things.
How would you rather spend your New Year's?
Watching Jack Ryan with me in bed.
No,
are we like delayed or something? I can't tell.
Mm-mm. We're just like Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen. What was the? I didn't really understand the beef with like Ryan Seacrest. Like, what did Andy say about him last year that was so insulting?
Apparently, last year. Andy said, if you look behind me, you'll see Ryan Seacrest's group of losers performing. Going joke during 2021's New Year's Eve show. And then he continues, I'm sorry, but if you're watching ABC, you're watching nothing. And then Cohen issued an apology. I mean, he was drunk, and that's funny.
Right. He also was talking a lot of shit about de Blasio.
Well, that's why they told him he can't drink. And it was really funny because I watched a story he posted with Anderson Cooper like the next day. They were like at the playground or something, and he was like, yeah, I think we put on a good show, you know drinking, we should have, it would have been nice, but you know, we can't do. And then Anderson Cooper was like, well, yeah, I mean, it makes sense, you publicly insulted like an officer of the state or something. And Andy's like, yeah, that's true. It's just so funny, like, you went on an insane rant.
Well, what I think, Andy Cohen should just do like a special New Year's Watch What Happens Live that is like exactly what he wants it to be. I don't know why anyone's like, so why is he like on, what channel is
CNN.
This?
CNN.
Why is he doing the CNN New Year's thing? He has his own show that is a late night show that would be such a more fun. I would prefer to watch.
That's a great point.
I would watch the New Year's countdown on Watch What Happens Live. That would be the only channel I was watching.
Yeah, you can get all the Housewives.
Yeah, I don't know why he's like trying to fit in this world.
Also, like Anderson Cooper could go on that, and someone else could do the CNN programming. Like if they want to do it together as friends, of course. People would rather watch the two of them be able to say whatever they want. Even they could do it on like streaming, and then they could curse, and it would just be like even more fun.
Epic. It made sense for the 2 years of COVID, because I remember watching it and being like, and they were drunk, and you're just like, what the fuck am I watching? Like, what? How is this on CNN? And you're just kind of like, you can't look away, and you're just so entertained by that like kind of train wrecky vibe. But it made sense for the time of COVID, because everything was just kind of like that, and like everything was up in the air. But now that times are a little bit more normal, it seems, and they just told them to not drink, it does, the formula doesn't work anymore.
Right. We don't have to do anymore.
But like they could also like drink, but maybe just drink a little bit less. Like they could, you know, try to maybe have a limit like on The Bachelor.
I disagree. I think they should go the other route if they're on CNN.
Sorry, I sound like Andy Cohen. Yeah.
Fuck CNN. Let him do his own show where you have to be drunk. They do a breathalyzer, and if it's below a certain amount, then you're not allowed on the show.
It makes sense. He does shot skis, and like he has a drinking game every single Watch What Happens Live. It makes sense.
Also, the whole Bravo community would tune in, and he could do like Housewives moments, and he could feature various Housewives on New Year's, and they could, like, Luann could do her cabaret. Like there's obviously a 100%, right? I feel like a lot of people would watch.
Sheena Shea sings Auld Lang Syne. Oh, that's not her name anymore. Sorry.
What's her name now? Sheena
Brock.
Davies.
She might just be Sheena.
But there was more Ryan Seacrest drama this year. So Ryan on Kelly and Ryan Live, whatever, was like detailing his experience again this year. And he says that like, oh, Anderson, you know, I love their show, quote unquote. They have a great show. Anderson, he's the best. And he turns around and said, have a good show. Very nice. But Andy Cohen did not turn around. And so
maybe he was busy.
I think he wanted to call out that Andy Cohen was mean, but Kelly defended her friend Andy Cohen and said that is not true. He said he was trying to get your attention. Shots fired. I don't know.
This is all playing out like a Real Housewives episode.
Exactly. Right? Drama needs to live on Bravo. Bravo, exactly. Bravo, Bravo.
I think we just created a show for them. You're welcome. If this gets done, we'll know where they got the idea.
Also, but here's the thing, like I'd be happy just to watch it. Please make it for us. You know, we'll accept royalties, but we could make it.
Forget all those ideas. You could tune in to Betches to have the ultimate New Year's Eve party.
Okay. We have a year to plan it.
Let's do that. That would be really fun.
It's going to be great. Jordana, you didn't tell us how your New Year's was.
I was supposed to go to the Hamptons and then I didn't because one of the hosts got COVID. So I was in a city for a gathering. I played a lot of games.
Your game situation.
I played a lot of rounds of Sequence.
Did you win?
I won one game. It wasn't enough games for me.
to win it was fun. Or to play?
To win. By the end, okay. I was like, I've got to. No, we played far past the point of fun.
as one does.
As you do. Sometimes you're just in it and you're like, should we do another? Should we do another? I guess. Should we do another?
What is? I don't even know. I don't know what Sequence is. What is it?
I'll teach you. It's a card game, but with a board.
Okay.
Oh, I love Sequence.
Have we played?
So fun. No, I played with my mother-in-law. Oh. She pulls out games and then like yells at me for like being really competitive and winning.
That's the problem with games.
I hate playing with you.
That's like Sammy doesn't understand our competitive natures.
I'm going to try to be more competitive in the spirit of the game.
In the new year? That's your resolution?
Yeah, that's my resolution. To be more competitive
in games. There's another game
that's
really fun, but I cannot think of what it's called at all. Maybe it is Sequence.
Rummy I'll Cube? Have to,
no, not that. I don't think I Taboo. Love that one. No.
Settlers of Catan?
I want to
play
that.
I don't like Settlers of Catan. It's too hard.
We played Millbourne. It's not that fun, but it's fine. It's like a card game, but it's like it's like car racing, but it's a card game.
What's your optimal like length of time for a game, like one round of a game, like to decide the winner once?
Depends on the game.
How many people also?
With a group of six people or four people?
25 minutes.
Yeah. I think that.
I agree with that.
I think that what's that game called? Monikers goes on for too long.
It does. That's people lose steam 45 towards the end.
Yeah.
That's like it's 12 hours. Like I cannot.
You can't have too many. Sometimes you play Monikers, you have too many people. And then if it's too long of a time between your next turn.
Yeah.
Then it's too long to.
You don't give a shit.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
It's an art picking the right game for the right amount of people in the right vibe. You know, I want to be like a game sommelier.
Oh, that would be so fun.
I come over to the group. I find out the information. Yes.
You could. Oh, my gosh.
Point on the menu.
You could also invent the games because you like to do to make up games as well. Like thought
games.
That's
fun.
It could be both thought games and physical games.
You're interested in
a secret menu of games.
You're like a game concierge. And you like if people come to you to plan whether it's like dinner murder mysteries like in Glass Onion.
Oh, yeah.
Or like you could
I really want to do a dinner murder mystery so badly. Can we? Would
Sammy,
you be down to
why don't
do
you host
one?
It?
I'll plan it. I'm down. I'm going to host it.
I don't know if we've discussed Sammy's dinner party, which was so fun.
Thank you. I had such a great time.
Sammy Stewart.
Had such a great time.
It was so cold out that day. Like that night when we left.
Oh, it
like,
really when was.
We had a warm, we were in your driveway for a solid 15 minutes because
Why?
We couldn't leave yet because the car didn't warm up enough. It was like it's negative 10 degrees. It was such a
is
crazy thing.
Is it warmer
thing.
In the car than it
the
is
car
outside?
The car had to warm up. The car itself had
I think
to warm
they,
up to
they
leave.
They waited in the house and
then we sat
I
inside
think
the car.
The car was warning.
Oh,
still?
I see.
Yeah, we had to sit there. Yeah, it was crazy, but I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, that had a very weird weather pattern that day where it like dropped like 50 degrees in like two
oh my
hours
God,
or
yeah.
something. It was really wild. But anyway,
and then
I'm going to plan a murder
50
mystery.
Degrees.
Yeah,
Sammy,
and then
host
Europe
a murder
was
mystery.
Also 50 degrees.
Your house is also like in that kind of like area where I feel like it would give it that vibe. Aileen would get too scared.
We could also, we could also do it in the summer. And we could do like a, you know, you could do it in other places, like nearby the house, like
in the woods.
And it could be
fuck
not
no,
no not the woods, no, no woods.
Fuck
no
that.
Woods.
You guys can go die in Lloyd Harbor by
You're not
yourself.
Die. It is literally like there
it's
are
a game,
no
Aileen.
Cars. It's there.
Let's
it
do
is
a seance.
So.
You can have
so
me on speed dial.
Safe.
I'll call the cops for you.
Aileen, maybe your role in the mystery won't be
to stay home
to leave the property. But
I don't know. Okay. Sammy, we'll do a consultation. We'll
do
decide
it
which games will be best.
I'd rather play Codenames.
But We could do that with a smaller, more intimate group of, let's say, 8.
And Codenames is the most activated I've ever seen her.
So fun.
So activated.
Yeah.
So activated.
Well, Jordana, I think anxious. You could serve your, I'm just thinking about your game concierge business. You could serve your like personal games and you could price them really high, like Caviar, how it's like $300 more than anything else on the menu. And it's like, because that is what my time is worth, you know?
Right. I don't really understand why Caviar is more expensive when it has the same places as all the other
I think it's like apps. Owned also by like
I think it's fake. It's a racket. I'm talking about Caviar. No, I'm talking about literally caviar on a menu.
It's Caviar itself is
because I was in France and they have Caviar on a fucking menu.
It's an endangered thing.
That caviar is a garnish. Anyway, if you're interested in a game concierge,
call Jordana.
Yes. For years, I've been using men's razors because the quality of razors for women is seriously questionable. But disposable men's razors feel like settling. I finally tried the Athena Club razor I've been seeing online, and it was truly the easiest, smoothest shave ever. My old razors, honestly, they would rust up so quickly, and the shave I would get was so dull. My legs would get super dry. It would just be like an uncomfortable razor experience. But this razor is truly worth the hype. If you haven't tried it, you really need to give it a shot. Step up your shaving game now with Athena Club's award-winning razor kit. It's seriously the best on the market, and here's why. First of all, the Athena Club razor kit is an absolute steal at just $10. But don't let the price fool you. This razor packs a serious punch. It comes with a beautifully made ergonomic handle and 2 super sharp razor heads that deliver an incredibly smooth shave every time. You also get a game-changing magnetic hook in the razor kit for easy storage. This means no sitting your razor on the edge of your tub, no more goopy blades, no more razor falling down your shower floor in the middle of the night. Athena Club's razor glides effortlessly thanks to those 5 precision-engineered blades. The blades are perfect spaced out to let your hair pass through with each stroke, and you'll experience less irritation, which is always a win in my book. Are you ready to upgrade your shaving experience? Switch to the best razor on the market and show your skin you care with Athena Club. Head over to athenaclub.com to try their award-winning razor and body products and get 20% off your purchase with code BETCHES at checkout. You can also find Athena Club razors at your local Target store. Trust me, you won't look back. Happy shaving.
Listen, we all know that scratchy PJs can make a cranky kid. I want my kids to be comfy when they sleep and are rested in the morning. And that's why I snuggle them up in Little Sleepies. Little Sleepies makes award-winning bamboo PJs that moms rave about. I am said mom. I am obsessed with Little Sleepies. They are so, so, so soft. I just got one that was the Checkmates Zippy for my son Lucas. It's so adorable. And it's limited edition, so everybody go check it out. Little Sleepies Zip Romper Pajamas, aka Zippies, the ones that I got, were designed with thoughtful details like fold-over feet, mittens, and a double zipper to make the middle of the night diaper changes easier. Made from the buttery soft, custom-milled Luna Luxe bamboo viscose, their Zip Footy Pajamas are gentle on sensitive skin and babies with eczema. But what parents rave about the most? How long they fit. And Little Sleepies makes the best baby shower gift. They have inclusive sizing from preemie to adults 3X. There are also nursing and pregnancy-friendly styles available for adults. So try a pair of Little Sleepies today. Fair warning, you'll never go back. You can try Little Sleepies for yourself by visiting littlesleepies.com. Plus, get 15% off your order on littlesleepies.com with code BETCHES. That's littlesleepies.com with promo code BETCHES. Okay, should we talk about Selena Gomez randomly on vacation with Brooklyn and Nicola Peltz Beckham? Is it okay? Nicola?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Sammy sent me this. Did you guys not notice the party that Nicola?
Nicola.
Nicola? Mrs. Beckham, that she hosted for the release of Selena's documentary. She had like, I saw that. It was like she hosted a party for her. And they were like all in their pajamas, and David Beckham cooked,
but David. I saw that they're on vacation, and that one of her captions for the Insta was "Call us a thruple."
Okay, first I was willing to accept, you know, maybe they have a fast friendship. Selena is a girl's girl. She befriends people. She takes pictures at their parties. She's always kind of in that mix. You know, it's not uncommon for her to be frequently taking photos with other people. I think that this is a PR friendship. And I think that at first, Jordana, when I sent it to you, like, and I I feel that she's getting mixed up in the wrong crowd, as she often does. I don't think that these two people are like good for her. They don't feel aligned like energetically for me. And I feel like she needs someone who's like a little bit of a better influence based on everything I feel like we know about Brooklyn and Nicola. So I don't know. Just feels like a little bit of a PR thing.
I agree that it feels random. Thing?
Like they want her to seem...
Maybe it's her dad paying Selena's team
to hang out with Brooklyn and Nicola.
It might be that. Something about it is like, I don't know.
I agree. Just given the best difference between like, I feel like Nicola and Brooklyn are both very much like trust fund, Lucky Sperm Club babies. And Selena is very much like not at all. So I do agree. It doesn't feel like they would have like a similar sensibility, or like you don't get the you don't get the vibe that like the Beckhams are so into like mental health or
right.
just that as their like thing. Like I agree that they don't seem as like cerebral as her, but maybe they're different, or maybe that's what they give each other. Maybe that's what they're getting.
I'm sure
the friendship.
Just having fun. I'm sure they're just having fun. And that's fine. Like she can just enjoy herself.
To me, they seem like they're friends.
I think the relationship was forged by and encouraged maybe by PR, or it's like
because it's out of nowhere.
Nicola and Beckham could have like set up. They're like, oh, come on this trip with us, you know, like for. And maybe that's how her dad's kind
Selena's
of paying.
Friends were there, though, too. It wasn't just Selena and the other two. Like, Selena's blonde friend from the documentary that was, like, her assistant friend was there.
Right. So it's, like, her like,
the, my,
you know.
The only thoughts that I have about, like, sort of soft landing this or soft launching this friendship into, like, a PR stunt or some project would be, like, okay, Selena has our cooking show. Maybe they're going to join forces into a cooking show. Brooklyn maybe is on HBO. Or like maybe their Nicola needs to really launch her acting career, because I was just looking at her IMDb.
She was in Bates Motel.
Was she?
Maybe it's that
14
too.
Episodes. She was, she's just been in one episode of Welcome to Chippendales. She was in the movie Holidate. So perhaps maybe she's going to be in a movie with Selena. Time will tell.
Or a show.
Time will tell. Well, Selena's in Two Murders.
Well, maybe there's going to be like another sort of, I don't know, that type of level, good, badness
show
that they want to be in. I could see the chef angle because, I mean, they tried everything for Brooklyn. They listed them all out in the Nepo Baby article even. And I just feel like he, you know, he's got to kind of stick with something for, you know, 5 years.
Isn't he a model? Can't he just stick to modeling?
I don't think he would. I think that didn't like work. I thought so, too.
Why wouldn't it work? He's an attractive man. Why can't they make that work?
Maybe it just like wasn't. He didn't have the. I don't know. Maybe he didn't have what it takes to be a model.
To be an investigatory journalist.
Maybe he could try law school.
Like Kim.
Probably that would be a bad idea. But he like why not just like not do anything? Like that's what I ask. Like, why?
Everybody wants to do something.
Why do you need to pretend?
He needs to make a name for himself as an investigatory journalist.
Okay, just be a hobbyist chef on Instagram.
Honestly, I do think it's a little bit of a double standard, because it's more socially acceptable to go to a party as like if the roles were reversed and he were the woman, I think it would be more socially acceptable to be like, I'm on the board of some things and I'm a very famous child and I like dabble in some stuff. But I think he almost wants this as like it's like less socially acceptable for him to like not have a real project or job.
That's a good point. That's true. You're right. But like, I feel he could just kind of, maybe he can't be even like a hobbyist or anything because he doesn't really have a real hobby. That's also, but he could just keep cooking, like cook online and you're fine.
Did you know that Nicola Peltz used to date Justin Bieber?
I did not know that.
I think I did.
They both used to date him. Well, obviously we know Selena did, but interesting.
Oh, do you think they talk shit about him?
When they say date, I feel like maybe she like slept with him once or they went on one date. I don't think
that. I get like a few hookups. I get a few hookups.
Pictured together.
Yeah. If this was like a real thing, we would have known about it.
Maybe her dad paid for that one too.
I could see that too. I feel like that's probably, her dad probably paid for like a bunch of small
things. There's pictures of them together.
Did you watch Bates Motel?
Yeah, I watched like the first season.
How was it? How was it? How is she?
Not great. She was fine.
Okay.
She was fine. Literally, she wasn't bad.
The title of this article, it says, Justin Bieber and Nicola Peltz have been having sleepovers.
Well, there you go.
So, like, they've hooked up a few times.
It was a long time ago.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you just need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been in therapy for years, and nothing has transformed my life quite as much as my therapy experience. And one of the things that I love about therapy is that it gives me all the tools I need to figure out how to manage my time, and also figuring out what depletes me, what gives me energy. Sometimes too much socializing depletes me, so I've learned how to manage the amount of time that I'm going out versus staying in, the amount of new people I'm meeting versus making sure I have that me time for myself, and that's definitely a skill that I've honed in therapy. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/betches today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/betches. Around the office, we have so many colorful framed art prints and photos. It creates such a fun atmosphere and it gives our space that unique Betches character. I wanted to frame some stuff at home too, but custom framing can be so difficult and so expensive. So the things I want to display end up collecting dust in a closet. But FrameBridge makes it easy and affordable to get your special artwork and memories in frames so you can spice up your space with ease. I love FrameBridge. I framed my ketubah for my wedding. The process was unbelievably easy. They send you a canister to send in your artwork. They send you a few different options of ways that they can frame it. You get to pick. They're actually helping me also design the frame that works best with the picture and best for my home. And getting custom frames can be difficult. FrameBridge is easy and affordable to custom frame just about anything. You can easily order online at framebridge.com or visit a retail store if you need some guidance. You can also upload a digital photo for them to print or mail your item in using their free, secure, prepaid packaging. Then FrameBridge custom frames your piece in the studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free. See why FrameBridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local FrameBridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com.
Anyway, should we talk about some other things? Did you guys see Jeremy Renner's accident? Like, it was on New Year's Day. He got like mauled by a snowplow.
I saw the photos after that. Like him in the hospital. There was like a selfie that they shared on the news. He posted it. That was pretty scary. Also, because we had just gotten, it happened at the same time as that, the like NFL thing with Damar Hamlin. Yeah. So it just all felt very
tragic, sudden.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we thought it was like, I thought Rusty and I were talking about it because he has like one of those smaller snow plows, but it's not like a small snow plow. It's like one of the big trucks things.
I was envisioning like the one that would do a full street.
Big, you know? One. Yeah. He like in the movie Snow Day. Something. Right.
Well,
it's really fucking scary, but he seems to be like in he's stable.
So hope he has a speedy recovery. Sammy, can you give us the debrief on what's going on with Prince Harry?
Yeah. He's in the headlines again.
Ugh, of course. Yes. I'm getting serious Prince Harry fatigue.
Same.
Harry
Teague.
Harry Teague.
There definitely has to be like a word for this.
H Teague. Sussex Teague.
So Harry's coming out with his long awaited memoir next week on I think January 10th is the release date, called Spare. And apparently like a bunch of publications have gotten gotten copies of it. So they've started releasing like little, you know, bombshell anecdotes everywhere. And there have been a few so far that just, I mean, they're all pretty, pretty dramatic. So one of them, the first one that I saw came from The Guardian, and they basically detailed how, like, in 2019, Harry and William had like a physical altercation.
Willie
and Harold had a physical altercation at Nottingham Cottage, which was where, if you see the documentary, where Oprah went and thought it was like too small, you know? And so basically they had wanted to speak, like meet and speak things through at Notcot, and Harry was waiting, and he said William came in like really like ready to like fight and like really mad, and was kind of like saying that Meghan is like difficult and just all these things that you know.
Difficult, rude, and abrasive.
Yes, all of those things.
They all seem like pretty proper insults. I was expecting like he came in and he was like, your wife's a fucking bitch and all that. Like,
maybe they just don't speak like that.
Rude, abrasive, difficult. Like, that is like so much nicer than I feel like most people would use if they were truly angered at someone. Like, she's being very difficult.
Like, yes, for us, that's me like being like calmed down if I were to say something like that. But with them, they don't speak about any feelings ever, and they don't express those things.
They're like very,
they just
polite.
Don't express things to each other like that, like any sort of dissatisfaction generally. So it's, I guess it got them like started, and apparently like Harry started to get like freaked out about how William was like so angry, and he like went to go into the kitchen to get him some water, he describes, and then he put it down, and then he said that Willie grabbed him like by the neck and like broke his necklace and like threw him on the ground, and he landed on the dog bowl and it like shattered. And then like William wanted him to like fight back like when they were kids, but Harry was like no, and like basically like made him leave. William then came back and apologized and said like, don't tell Meghan about this. Harry then didn't want to tell her, but then she like saw his scars and then asked, and then he told her, and that was just like the biggest bombshell anecdote that dropped first.
I just think it's such a lame story.
I was like, how is that a bombshell? Who gives a fuck?
I think it's so lame. I think it's like, if you're gonna be throwing your brother under the bus, like, and you're going to ruin the relationship, like, this is the story you're choosing to do it because you just couldn't not share it. Like, it's not even that good of a story. He doesn't seem that bad. The things he said weren't that awful. They got into like a bit of a physical altercation. He apologized for it after. To me, I'm kind of like, this is just so lame, personally.
Right. Well, there's, okay, so more things like have continued to come out, where basically Harry says that William and Kate like encouraged him to wear the Nazi uniform because they thought it was like hilarious, and that he's really resentful that they sort of like escaped any blame for that.
Blaming,
it's, like, wasn't on their bodies.
Blaming Kate Middleton for him wearing a Nazi costume.
Right. Well, the excerpt I saw basically said, I phoned Willie and Kate, asked what they thought of the Nazi uniform. They said, Harry writes, adding, when he went home and tried it on for them, they both howled, worse than Willie's leotard outfit, way more ridiculous, which again was the point. So that's what he basically, how he describes their like, you know, encouragement of that. I think that's one of the worst. I think that was a fucked up thing to do.
He wore the outfit. Well, that's what I'm saying. I think it's fucked up of him. I think that makes him look bad.
Right.
He
that's
still
what I'm
wore
saying.
The outfit.
Whole, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, he wore the outfit. He went and solicited their opinion on the outfit that he came up with. And, like, they laughed. He obviously thought it was funny, too. In no way is him wearing the outfit their fault.
I think he should have left it there. Yeah, because, like, he brings it up in the documentary that he's, like, deeply ashamed of that, is his biggest regret. I think that's all, like, fine, good.
Yeah, just
it's
leave
in
it
the
at
past.
That.
It's good. Now you're going to unearth it and say, now, oh, it's actually my brother's fault. Like, no.
Right.
It makes him seem way worse.
He's trying
worse
to make
than if
himself
he had just
like a victim.
It.
Agreed.
Yes, exactly. Like, take responsibility. Don't put this on them. They didn't, like, just because they laughed at the outfit that you intended to have them laugh at.
It just seems very
your
immature.
Body, your choice, Harry.
To me, he's like really grasping here for like a story.
Well, I don't think this is, it's a long book. This is what the, you know, what everyone has picked out so far. So,
but to me, these are the biggest things. If these are the biggest things they're picking out.
No, this is just starting to drop like today, and we're recording it like relatively early in terms of what's coming out. So there's going to be a lot more soon.
I'm saying, like, wouldn't they, if they have their hands on the book and they read the whole thing, don't you think they'd start with like the biggest things?
I think that it's like a matter of things getting out. It's, they're still reading. Yeah. People are still like reading it.
And apparently they're not speaking.
No, but it's so weird because last week Harry came out and said, like, I want my father and my brother back. And then this week he has this book coming out where he's essentially blaming him for his Nazi decision. It just seems like,
I think the more they release, the less I like them personally.
I actually felt a little better about them after the documentary. I sort of wish they had just left it there because that was the story. And like, now this is, look, everyone has the right to share what they want to share. And obviously I'm reading it the second it comes out and I'm going to be like thoroughly obsessed with it. We'll report back. But is this what I think was the best decision for him? No. Like, now there's all this dirty laundry out there. I'm thrilled to consume
it's not even interesting dirty laundry, which to me just makes it so much worse. Like, if you're going to be like essentially betraying your family, I think, by telling like personal stories where you look good and they look bad, at least make them actually look bad. Like, or otherwise you just look like an asshole, I think. Cause it's like, imagine if one of us wrote a book about like a fight that we had that I would never think that someone would out in a book, like a just random fight that we had, I thought was between us. Like, and I didn't even do anything that messed up. I think that would be like a huge betrayal. And I understand why William doesn't want to speak to him.
This all said, though, the book isn't necessarily out yet. And like, these are all excerpts that we don't actually know who's like summarizing them and like who's pulling what out of context. You know what I mean? Like, it's tabloid stuff, right? It's tabloid fodder or whatever they say. So we'll see what it actually says, right?
I feel that way too. I'm like, that's why I'm not ready to really like judge this off of like three sentences that have become available. But I agree with generally that point that you're saying, like, I would be more pissed that you had to just go air this bullshit that isn't, that like, I didn't even.
I don't know. The thing though, from the documentary though, it seems like they're just fighting back, like, for all of the shit that they seem to say was William's fault. They use their own press team that's supposed to be the joint press team against them. And
no, it wasn't supposed to be a joint press team. It was never supposed to be a joint press team, but they had sort of negotiated that like they would not use their press teams against each other. And then he believes that William did, which I think is about the time when it came out that William was cheating on Kate. Like, I think that was like due to that situation.
I also feel like it's probably not that black and white.
Of course,
like,
it's
it wasn't
not.
Like, no, of course, like, William had like it had like an evil meeting with his team, and he was like, get
"No
him.
Way, like, no way." They know that their duty is to the crown and like the heir. That's kind of the point. I have a feeling more of the book is going to be Harry complaining about his like position in life, and kind of I get that. Like, air your dirty, you know. Airing the dirty laundry seems to be like a secondary, or he thinks it's a secondary effect of like him processing his own really challenging, like really painful childhood. And like, to be honest, unfair position, but life is unfair. So it's sort of, you know, some would argue he has it very good, but I don't know. I'm very excited to read it. And I don't know. We'll see. One more thing to your point about the, like, how this isn't so bad. Like, yeah, this isn't so bad for like us or for like the Real Housewives, but for royalty, for these things to be out there is really, I think, really, really embarrassing and a big deal for them to know that, like, they, for it to be out there, like, contemporaneously, that these brothers had, like, a physical altercation.
I mean, it doesn't sound as bad as the Charles Camilla phone sex tape, but, which didn't even sound that bad either.
I mean, honestly, like, the phone sex tape was just, like, a private moment. Like,
I'd like to be your kind of what that,
that's kind of what this sounds like, too. I mean, like, it just sounds like a fight that they had. And did any of us think that they weren't fighting over this thing the entire time? Like, fighting over this larger issue?
I mean, I definitely would think they were. But it's the fact that every detail is now going to be told from Harry's perspective. I'm excited.
Right. And also, like, William can't really, like, respond really fully because they don't do those interviews.
They'll, like, so respond kind of in a different like, way.
Not in like revenge. A real, not in the same kind of way. Like, he's not writing his own memoir to tell his side.
It's interesting they all waited for the Queen and to pass to start getting dirty in the
It was actually supposed to come out at this time anyway, and they cut stuff out of it that was like less because she died. So I actually think it would have been worse. No, they didn't. They took it out because she died. That was like the reason they cut it back.
Maybe it was a sex tape for her.
I could never see that. But anyway, for those listening, we do have a Royals podcast, if that is literally the only thing you're interested. It's called Crown Jewels, and go listen to it. It's out now.
Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There's no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. So it's no big deal if you lose a button, spill something, or you just need to take a break. They have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code BETCHES20. Just go to NUULY.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's. And enter the code BETCHES20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, and use code BETCHES20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
So should we talk about Fleischman is in Trouble? Because I think all three of us watched it separately.
Yes.
And I watched it just over like the week before New Year's.
I really loved it.
You guys Same. Loved it.
I thought it was great.
Loved, but really heavily affected by it. And we'll probably have to watch it like at future times and feel like different ways about it. But it was so good. Like, it was just such a good quality show. And I don't know. I loved it. Why did you love it?
I thought
Tell me
like,
more about how you loved it.
I mean, it was just great. Like, the dialogue, like, it's mostly the show is not very plot driven, like, at all. It's like almost.
No, it was trying plot. To be Woody Allen.
Right. But the dialogue is just awesome. The dialogue was really good, really, really honest, really like funny in like in a real kind of way. And it just felt like an accurate portrayal to an extent of like a very micro community.
Yeah. I also felt like the themes that it pushed.
It was very relatable.
Really like groundbreaking. Like, you don't see those things examined in the, like, parenting and, like, the way that you could see that story from both their perspectives. Like, you just don't see that, I don't know, told as well.
It was just, a very specific type of like relationship told, like in the way that these two have like their own insecurities brought together because, you know, they didn't really like explore much, and then how that, you know, manifests in an actual marriage long term. That was really interesting. I mean, the thing that I loved it because it was like really dark in some cases, but then also funny. What I didn't love is that it like really hit you on the head with every point they were trying to make. Like, not everything, it wasn't as subtle as it could have been, in which I think that it would have made you think more, but rather she said everything that you were supposed to take from the show. Do you know what I mean?
Because there's a narrator.
There's a narrator, and like even they all just kind of said the things that were like, okay, yeah. It was like they drove obvious points home. Do you know what I mean?
I didn't really feel that way. I felt that it was, I don't feel that it was like the type of show that you're supposed to be kind of like examining. I think right. You're like kind of supposed to get the point.
I don't think it's like a 6-season show.
No, right. It's a miniseries. No, it's over.
Yeah, right. Because yeah. It's a book and it's just basically based on right. The book. But that's what I thought was so good about it. And I think there were things that were like a little more subtle about it. But
it was well done.
I guess my favorite was how like all the episodes up until 6 or 7, was it? When it was Carrie Mathis's episode, you know, when she.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And when that switch happens, like for me, that like made
that was the best
whole
episode
thing so good.
I felt like that was like had to happen. Like the whole time I'm like, you can't paint this is written by a woman, obviously you can't paint this woman up to be a monster, so they have to tell it from the other side of the story, otherwise the show's gonna suck. And so they finally did. In that episode I cried. Okay, I'm saying I cried a lot, but and also the funny lines about like how working moms, like the truth about working moms versus, you know, that was really funny.
Yeah, that was
but
great.
What I'm saying is that the general show, I think, just wasn't subtle, but I liked it because it almost was like, okay, people should hear these themes and these ideas because it's not talked about that much. And like, I'm not going to trust you to draw these conclusions on your own. I'm just going to say them. But
it was like accessible highbrow.
Yes, yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I thought was really funny was that these characters were like, it almost felt, it was like Mark Zuckerberg is married and he marries Carrie Matheson. And like, it was the same, and this is Janice Ian after she's graduated college. Like, it almost feels like it was like them as like their sort of typecast roles brought together in real life.
And Seth Cohen after he goes to Israel abroad.
And he's called Seth. Like there was something, right. There had to have been something there. I was like, I don't understand.
Well, that's the name, but those are the names in the book. So
I thought it was so funny that she kept wearing that Fairway t-shirt.
Yes, she had really funny shirts.
Yeah.
And I loved Ted Mosby. Also funny because he, like the husband, he was like the perfect, you know, he the whole show of like How I Met Your Mother was about how he's like trying to, you know, the story of how he finds a person now. Okay, now he's married in a regular marriage. Like, it's just kind of funny that these like almost cast on purpose to see these like.
Right. I read an interview.
Later stories.
With the writer. And she was, the writer and Lizzie Kaplan. And Lizzie Kaplan was saying, like, we're all kind of known for like our teenage roles.
Right.
That's kind of what brought us.
Oh, that's exactly what I was thinking.
I bet they did that on purpose.
Right. That's what I mean. It feels like. Because the story is so like, okay, this is now, it's like a mundane topic. It's just about like what happens after the marriage, what happens after you have the children, and like life is just kind of goes on.
Right.
Also, the show was about how they were stuck in being teenagers. So.
Right.
Right. He was so immature.
And I was telling Sammy about this too. Like the in the article, the author of the book, and I guess she wrote some of the show too. She was talking about how like, it's a different perspective from like the motherhood perspective, where like anything in the motherhood perspective about it's hard has to end with like, but I love being a mom so much, or, but it's like so incredible. Like, and it's all worth it. Like, it has to end with that message of like, yeah, it's hard, but then like, here's like why, like, you wrap it up in a nice little, and it's wonderful bow. What she's like, and I felt like the perspective that was missing was like, she's like, yeah, we already know that. Like, that's like a given. Like, we don't need to talk about that. Like, she doesn't, in the show, Lizzie Kaplan's character, even Claire Danes' character, isn't talking about how, like, and I'll always find my way back, or like, and I love my family. Like, it's sort of like implied, but that's the thing that's implied, but not said out loud so specifically. And then she was comparing like this, I guess she was talking about this perspective of motherhood, which she compared to like, I might like, comparing it to like a picture of her arm where she's like, I hate my arm and I think it looks fat and I want to cut and I hate it, but it doesn't mean that I want to cut it off.
Right.
And that was her perspective on motherhood, which I thought was like very funny, unique kind of perspective.
That point though, that like things kind of, people just wrap that thing at the end, like with a bow of like how it'll always come back. It's people tend to like fast forward through telling stories of the hard part before they come back. So like, and this was like that really long, dark, dragged out part before they come back. So like, I get that. And I think that part was definitely done well. The ending was a little Hollywood, but it was good, I thought.
Yeah. I wish there was a season two.
I cannot watch.
Maybe they'll make one.
Toby Fleischman even more on my television.
Yeah. He was such a like dweeb.
He's so fucking annoying when he gets the dog. He gets the
Get that girl a phone, Toby.
I feel so bad for Hannah. She was just like, oh, she just took it. I felt so
The scene where he like goes into the bunk when she's like packing her shit.
Oh, I cried.
That was like so sweet, but not in a like overly sweet way. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
It was like a good parenting scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was his best, like least annoying scene probably. Although I stand by, I feel like the comments that he was making to like the rich guys when they first walk into like one of those parties, there was one time where like he was actually being clever and funny and they were just like not getting the jokes. And they weren't that obnoxious to start. Right, but they were like still funny. Like they were clever. Like you could joke about it just because
I kind of agree that they would be like a little bit, they might have a little bit of a better sense of humor than was depicted.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
Like in real life, like I think that they would maybe appreciate him like kind of making fun of that a little bit.
5%. Yeah.
But it was exaggerated and told from like her perspective to show that these guys are assholes and that like, you know, Mark Zuckerberg, what's his name, Toby, was like this amazing doctor. That was also so funny that like, oh, good for you. Like all the doctor stuff. How's the liver business? Like all of that was really, really good.
That was hilarious. Yeah.
The postpartum shit was really dark. That was really heavy to watch. And the abuse part was also real. I thought that was an interesting way to show like the, like how abuse is not, being violated is not so like
black and white.
Black and white. It's not so absolute. And that what you can feel a certain. And I thought that they showed it in a really good. Obviously, Carrie Mathison or Claire Danes is so good. Like
she scares me. Her facial expressions are like so intense. No, it makes sense. She's perfect for this role.
After that episode, I was like, yeah, no wonder they cast her.
Yeah, same. I was like, oh my God, it was so funny when she was like, when she was at the spa and the guy leaves and she's like, I want another massage and then more screaming.
Yeah, more screaming. Yeah, that was really, really funny. Yeah, the whole thing was really good.
And I also like that they didn't make it about the fact that it was even her best friend's husband. Like they kind of like just glossed over that part. Like it wasn't, because it was like not really that relevant. And also it's like, wasn't that relevant to this, it was just like almost like an extra fact, not like a story, which
because they weren't really friends, and it was almost so funny, like when they find her in the park.
Some me time, and they're like, "Yeah, we're good."
And like you got all the scenes, like with the beef lo mein, and like that was all very, very funny. I loved about the show was that it was funny, and it was really trying to be Woody Allen. Like it was almost as if Toby Fleischman was Woody Allen, but some places he wasn't, but. That's how I felt. Even like a lot of the conversations, the scripts, like the script, I mean, it felt like that.
Were they at the Jane at the end?
Yes.
I know. It was the Jane, right?
They always film at the Jane.
They must have a good filming policy.
They do. Yeah. I've seen the Jane in a lot of movies.
Girls.
Yeah. Our first book party.
We had our first book party at the Jane.
That was not so televised. Fun.
Good time.
I went to the wrong dream hotel.
I think they're closing the Jane.
The Jane.
I think
it just got bought by someone. So maybe they're not.
I don't know. Like, I don't want to.
I think they might be like closing it and adapting it. Maybe we'll Google that and get back to you for next time.
Who are we sending to the Caymans? Yes. Same frequency. Willie, Harry,
Ryan Seacrest.
I think Willie and Harry should go together, and they should not be allowed to come back until they work out their problems.
Until they sell a timeshare.
Yes, you're right. They don't have to work out their problems. They just sell one timeshare.
Yes, I like that.
Yeah,
and they have to come off relatable when they sell it.
Wait, the Winter Brothers.
No. Wait, we have to put them on like a draw, so they have to sell like a several timeshares to earn their way back.
I would love to see them on The Simple Life.
Oh, I want to go to the Cayman Islands.
Okay, so that's who we're sending.
Yeah. The brothers Windsor.
If we Delta run Comfort out of someone Plus. To send one week, Aileen, and there's no villains, you can go.
Just send me, and then I'll miss the next episode. I'll be in the Caymans.
Can they bring the big cruise ship that they had to give back? What was it in the
Britannia?
Britannia.
Yeah.
I think maybe they have to sell that also.
It's the Queen's first home. And that's it for today's At Betches podcast. You can follow me at Aileen.
Follow me at Jordana Abraham.
Follow me at Sammy. And please help us grow the show by rating, reviewing, and following on Apple or Spotify. And we'll talk to you next week on the At Betches podcast.
At Betches is produced by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Pico, Rebecca Sosmacat, and Aliza Zim. Editing by Basilio Perez. Be sure to follow At Betches on Instagram and send us your emails to podcast@betches.com.
Betches.